Well, this morning we're ready to study Revelation chapter 10. In our continuing study of each chapter of Revelation. This chapter a lot of people look over. It doesn't seem to contain anything super amazing unless you really dig deeply into it. But I think it's one of the most interesting chapters of Revelation, actually, because it tells us, it gives us hope and courage for the end. In this chapter, we find the admonition in verse 7. Before we begin at verse 1, let's talk a little bit about it. Verse 7 of Revelation chapter 10, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." So we're told that when the seventh trumpet, we've been studying through the trumpets here in chapters 8 and 9, and this is kind of an interlude here. He gives us some specific information. He says that when the seventh trumpet begins to sound, the mystery of God, as he's declared to his servants the prophets, will be finished. And that's a day that we all really look forward to seeing come, when things will finally be finished. Ready to leave our hard life that we have here on earth and enter into the joy of the Lord. We're going to take this chapter this morning and tie it to the book of Daniel. There's something here that is almost word for word from the book of Daniel. Let's begin now in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 10. Says, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." So we've come up to this point. We've been through six of the trumpets in chapters 8 and 9. And now in 10, John sees this brilliant angel come down from heaven. He puts one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea, and he says something, and when he speaks what he has to say, the seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was getting ready to write those things down for us, but God told him not to do that. And so John was given some information there that we don't have. It was probably to help him understand the things that were happening. And we can't speculate today about what the seven thunders said. We only know that they had a message from God that was given to John there and was not written down for us. Now, as we get down to verse 5, we begin to get into what the angel, his message is. Revelation 10 and verse 5, it says, "The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." So this angel, and this has always been interesting to me, because you remember Jesus told us when he was here that we shouldn't swear by anything. He said, don't swear by God's by heaven, because it's God's throne, or by the earth, because it's his footstool. And he told us to just make our communications yes and no, but not to swear. But yet God sends this angel down here, and we know he's doing the will of God, because angels always do. And he lifts up his hand to heaven, and he swears that, swears by him who created everything, the creator, that there should be time no longer. Now notice verse 7, he says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So this angel comes down, and he takes an oath by God's throne, you could say, that time will not be any longer, that God is going to shut down time here on the earth. And when the seventh angel begins to sound, then there won't be any more time. It will be all over with. Now, we want to take a break there, keep that fresh in our mind, and turn back to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. And of course, we know that this is the last chapter of the book of Daniel. And Daniel saw things that he did not understand, and he was given messages he didn't understand, but God told him to just write them down, and that he would rest, and they would be understood by the people at the end of time. Now we're going to read a few verses here to get the setting that Daniel chapter 12 is set in. The last few verses of Daniel chapter 11 describe when Satan will be present here on earth, and when he and the Pope will be gathered in Jerusalem and receive homage from most of the world, as they believe that Satan is Christ and that the Pope is his messenger, his ambassador here on earth, the leader of the Christian world. And it describes in verses 45, it says, he shall plant, this is Daniel 11:45, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So it's describing how Satan's finally going to reach the temple mountain there at the very end and receive the worship he wants, but it says he will come to his end and no one will help him. Chapter 12 then says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So now we have a book described for us, and we've been studying recently in Revelation about the book of life sealed with seven seals. Apparently when the seventh seal is broken, the book of life will be open, and it says everyone that's found written in that book will be delivered. So we know we're reaching the end here. Verse 2 tells us, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. In other words, a resurrection is going to occur. It says some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now Jesus told us about the two resurrections. He said that the day was coming that everybody that was in the grave would hear his voice. He says they that have done good will come up in the resurrection of life, and they that have done good will come up in the resurrection of damnation. But here we have a resurrection described that contains righteous and wicked people, because some of them are coming up for everlasting life. They're never going to die again. And some are coming up for shame and everlasting contempt. So this is the special resurrection that occurs just before the coming of Jesus. We're told in the book of Revelation that every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him. So somehow the Caiaphas and the men who actually killed Jesus, the Bible says that they are going to be awakened to see him come. So we have in this resurrection some of God's righteous people coming up, probably some of the martyrs, and some of the wicked coming up. I believe this resurrection takes place at the moment that the two witnesses of Revelation 11 are resurrected. They're going to be the last two martyrs to die here on planet Earth, and they'll be taken there to meet Satan when he comes to Jerusalem at the end, and they'll be brought in there. They're going to be killed, and the Bible says they're going to lay there 3 days and a half. They won't even bury them, but they're going to lay there in the city of Jerusalem while Satan and all his people, they believe that Satan is God, and while they're having this big worship of Satan, they're rejoicing here on earth. And after 3.5 days, it says that God calls them up. They stand up on their feet, and great fear falls upon the multitude. I believe at the same instant they're resurrected, this resurrection takes place. Michael stands up. God is getting ready to take power back here on earth. Verse 3 says, Daniel 12:3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So the wise are the God's chosen people, 144,000, those who are saved. I believe at that moment they will be transformed into their new bodies. Some of the wicked come up, some of the righteous come up. We're right at the end now. God is finishing things up. That's basically the summation of what God told Daniel. But then he told Daniel in verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." There's going to be more knowledge at the end. We see it in the world today, and we also see a great increase in knowledge of the scriptures. God's explaining to us things today that 100 years ago weren't perfectly understood, because those people weren't going to live to see him come, so he didn't disclose everything at that time. Now, verse 5 is really what we came to read, but we have to get the background. Daniel 12:5, it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two," in other words, two more he saw, "the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river." He saw two angels, one standing on each side of this river. Verse 6 says, "The one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river." So there's our third being here he sees. One is on the waters of the river, one is standing on each bank of the river, and one of them who's standing on one of the banks of the river says to the one who's standing on the river, last part of verse 6, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" So Daniel was left here. He had seen these things, heard these words, and then he probably didn't know what to say. He was probably just standing there looking at this, thinking about it, didn't have any idea. But God knew that we were going to need this information, so then he gave Daniel like a mini vision, we could call it. Daniel saw these three angels, and the one asked the other one, "How long is it going to be until Michael stands up, many of the people that sleep in the dust of the earth are awakened, and the righteous begin to shine as the brightness of the firmament?" So that's really what the question is here. How long will it be until the end of time, you could say, till the special resurrection occurs and all these things happen? Verse 7, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river." Now, we'll notice this. "When he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever." So now what do we have? Remember, we just had an angel in Revelation who told us, who held up his hand to heaven and swore by the Creator that time wouldn't be any longer. Now we have an angel here asking another angel how long it will be until the end. And this angel, what's he do? He holds up his hand to heaven, swears by him who lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, who's going to scatter the power of God's holy people at the end? Satan is. When Satan finally comes and they believe that he is God, that's right, we actually studied it last week in the sermon. Matthew 24, it says, "When you see the abomination of desolation, stand where he should and flee." So the scattering of God's holy people is going to occur when Satan arrives. We're going to preach the gospel until Satan comes. But when Satan arrives, the preaching is all over with. Satan is only coming to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's coming to prove what's in every person's heart. God lets him appear first, and all those who haven't been fortified with the truth are going to be drawn to Satan. So it's telling us here that when this being, it'll be for a time, times and a half, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that phrase this morning. Anyone who has studied the prophecies a lot knows that earlier in Daniel, we're told that there would be a time, times and a half, which the saints were given into the hands of the beast power to be persecuted. And we've studied about how a time in the Bible represents a year. If you go back in the Old Testament, it'll talk about the times that passed by King David, and it means the years of his reign when you read it. And there's different places you can read that. So a time is 1 year. Times, plural, is 2 years, so that gives us 2 years, and a half is 3.5 years. And when we applied the day for year principle, that gave us 1,260 days, because the Jews' year wasn't like our year. It was 12 lunar months. There was 30 days in a month, and that was because the moon took 30 days to go through its cycle, 29.5 days. So the Jews' year always had 360 days in it, and then every so many years, they just added another month on in the spring when they needed to make the Passover meet the next barley harvest. Every so many years, they added another 30-day month. So we have 3.5 years here, and 3.5 times 360 is 1,260 days, and we know that the Bible told us that the beast power, or the Catholic Church, would have power to persecute God's saints for a time, times and a half a time, or 3.5 years, which was 1,260 days or 1,260 years, and we know that that began in the year 538 A.D., and it continued until the year 1798. They burned millions of people at the stake, cut their heads off, tortured them to death, and in the year 1798, the man who was in charge of it all, the Pope, was taken prisoner by Napoleon. They actually marched. The Napoleon's army went to the Vatican. They pulled up out in front and they said, "We're here to get the Pope." And they went into the Vatican and they put handcuffs on the Pope and they brought him out and put him in the carriage and they took him away. And they never have had the power since that day that they had before that. But we don't want to get that confused with this time, because this time, times and a half, is talking about the final 3.5 years. In fact, we're not going to get through all of this morning in our lesson study, but I've decided that this is such an important topic and it all fits together so well that I'm going to speak about Revelation chapter 11 for the sermon today, and we'll put the final tie-in on all these verses, but we're going to get a bunch of it out of our way this morning as we lay the groundwork for it. So we have a time, times and a half here, or 1,260 days. Now, I'm just going to quote it. We don't have to turn there, but God says in Revelation chapter 11 that he's going to give his witnesses power, and they're going to prophesy for the final 1,260 days. It's saying that. That's the same time, times and a half that's going on here. Because what's going to happen at the end is God's people are going to have the final outpouring of the Spirit to go out and finish God's work, and they're going to be preaching with great power for the last 3.5 years. Remember when Jesus came, how long he preached? Jesus preached 3.5 years. And then the end came, you could say, for the Jewish nation. They had to make up their choice. At the end, there's going to be another 3.5 year period. And it says in Revelation, blessed are they that overcome and do the works of Jesus, basically. It's talking about the final people who overcome and are there, part of the 144,000, to preach the last 3.5 years. So it's very good here, and that you're going to have to put your thinking caps on a little bit, because we're given these words in Daniel two ways this morning so we can pinpoint this. We'll read this in verse 7 again. We're going to start about half. Well, we'll read the whole verse. I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. Now we just talked about that. That's 1,260 days. And then it says, a time, times and a half, and, so we've got to add something on there, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So we're told, we're given two time periods here, 1,260 days and the amount of time it takes Satan to scatter God's people when he shows up. When that's finished, it will be finished. Now Daniel asks him in verse 8, he says, I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So Daniel didn't understand. He said, tell me a little bit more. I don't quite understand it. And the angel said to him in verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. He told Daniel, you're not really going to understand this, Daniel. But he gives us some more information that we need. In verse 10, he says, many shall be purified and made white and tried. Now, we know that's overcoming. Many shall be purified, that's getting sin out of our life, made white, clothed in the final righteousness of Jesus, and tried, that's tested. We're all being tested every day today. It says, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So no one today who is joined to their sins and wants to continue doing evil will really ever understand the end. They're not going to be able to put it together because God's not going to let them. Now notice in verse 11, it says, from the time that the daily, and you'll notice that the word sacrifice in your Bible, there's an added word. It's in parentheses. That word was not italicized. The word sacrifice is italicized. I didn't mean parentheses. I'm not sure why I said it that way. The word sacrifice is italicized because it did not appear in the Hebrew scrolls. The translators added the word because that's what they thought it meant. But really the word daily there just means the perpetual. And we're going to study here in a week or so what the perpetual is actually talking about. It's actually talking about the Sabbath day when we get to this and get it all broken down. From the time that the Sabbath shall be taken away, verse 11 says, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, that's the institution of the Sunday law, there shall be 1,290 days. So now we've gotten this time thing two ways. First, he told Daniel that it would be 1,260 days and the amount of time it takes Satan to scatter his people. And now he just told us that from the time they take away our Sabbath at the end, there will be 1,290 days. So what can we deduce from that? We can take the 1,260 and put it running right alongside the 1290, and then we realize that there's going to be 1,260 days that the witnesses preach. Then Satan is going to show up, and there's a 30-day time period there when he's going to scatter all of God's people. Because it said it'll be times and a half and the amount of times it takes to scatter God's people. And down here he tells us that it'll take 1,290 days. So that tells us that when Satan arrives, Satan has 30 days or less that he will be present here on earth to do what he's here to do. And it'll be less than that. That's why Jesus said, except those days would be shortened, he told us in Matthew 24, there wouldn't be any flesh saved. When Satan gets here, it's going to be so bad, so quickly. Actually, the controversy is going to have gotten so strong even before he arrives between God's true people who keep his Sabbath and the world who wants to do away with his Sabbath that there's going to be hatred there, not by God's people, but hatred by the world against God's people. It's going to be so bad you can't imagine it. And when Satan gets here, it's going to be unbelievable what's going to be going on. You know, we live in the day and age that the love of many has grown cold. Jesus said it would be that way at the end. People's houses are full of guns. They're playing video games, shooting and killing people. And a lot of them are so full of hatred and rage. We see it, hear about it all the time. They pick up their gun and they go out and they finally begin to kill as many people as they can kill. And when Satan arrives, through the prophecies that the Virgin Mary is supposedly giving to the Catholic Church today, she's already telling them that all of the calamities that are coming upon the earth are because men will not honor and obey the Pope, and they will not keep Sunday holy. So when Satan finally gets here and our earth is in this terrible condition, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years, the Bible says, and all these bad things are coming, and Satan finally appears here, and they finally see this bright, tingly being, and he says to them, he pats the Pope on the shoulder and says, this is the man that I left in charge. He's been telling you the truth, and there's this little group of people out there who will not keep Sunday, the day I rose from the dead, and they won't do what they're supposed to do, and all this trouble is because of those people. When he says those words here on earth, and he tells those people, you remember in the book of Luke, Jesus gave a parable, and he said he was like a man who was going into a far country to get his kingdom. And he said after he left to go get his kingdom, there was a group of people there who said, "We won't have this man to rule over us." In other words, he says they sent word after him and said, "We won't have you as our ruler." And Jesus said when he came back, he was going to say, "Bring those people before me and slay them." That's a parable that Jesus gave. And Satan's going to use that parable at the end, and he's going to say, there's this group of people here on earth who won't have me as their ruler. They say I'm the devil instead of God. They won't honor my Sunday and do what they're supposed to do. So therefore, I told you in my parables that we were going to have to bring them in and slay them. And Satan is going to tell the people, you need to go get them. And at that time, they're going to pick up their guns and whatever they have, and they're going to go to find the Sabbath keepers. And that's why Jesus said, when the abomination of desolation gets here, don't go back to get your coat or pack your goods or anything. Just go. Just flee immediately. Because if you've been doing the preaching you're supposed to do, everybody in your area is going to know that down there on that highway in that house is one of those Sabbath keepers. And when Satan arrives and they're all watching him on television and he tells them this, do you know where they're all going to be in about 15 minutes? At your house. And if you haven't already fled, you're going to, you know, doesn't mean you won't be saved, but you're probably going to suffer a lot more than what you would have had to suffer at the end. So Jesus has told us these things, and he's prepared us so that we can be ready when that day actually comes. But we have to make sure that we're overcoming, cleaning up our lives, and preparing to go home with him. If we're doing those things, we'll be able to see clearer and clearer as we look into these prophecies. We'll be able to understand what's going on there as we get down to the end. Now as we continue on here, he's told them that it'll be 1290 days. In verse 11, from the time they take away the Sabbath, there'll be 1290 days left. Verse 12 tells us, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." So he tells us there's only 1,290 days to the end when they get down to this point. But then he tells him, blessed are those people that stand and come to the 1335th day. There's 45 more days there. Now remember, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And you remember in Noah's day, do you remember how many days it took God to destroy everybody here on planet Earth? After 7 days, and then it took him 40 days and 40 nights for all his wrath to be poured out here on earth. And at the end, when we reach the 1290th day and the plagues begin to fall, the Bible says it's going to be about 40 days that God is going to pour out the plagues in his wrath upon the earth. That was God's wrath in Noah's day when he poured the rain on them till it covered the top of the last mountain. And at the end, it's going to be the same way. And so if we're found faithful and we stand till that 1290th day, and we have not worshipped Satan, we're not given over to that delusion because God is keeping us by the power of the Holy Spirit and he's helping us, then we will be able to stand through the last 45 days and see them. During those last 45 days, the chapter 91 of Psalms will be fulfilled. Chapter 91 of Psalms describes how 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. That means 11,000 of people are going to perish right around you. That's a lot of people. That's like maybe being here in the city of Mexico and having everybody in this city killed and you're the only one that's left. And that's how it's going to be when those seven last plagues fall, as God destroys the wicked. And it goes on in Psalms 91 to say, only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. And it says, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. So God's people are going to stand here and see those things, great things at the end of time. So now we've talked about Daniel chapter 12 here. We've seen that we have an angel here who holds up both hands to heaven and swears that at the end there will be 1290 days. And first he tells us there will be 1260 days, and then the amount of time it takes for Satan to scatter God's people. Then he tells us it'll take 1290 days to do that. So he's telling us about the 1290 days. You know, I believe this angel swore by God's throne to give you and I courage and strength to know that it's going to be ended. Because as we live through these last 1300 days of earth history, it's going to be so bad to be here. Things are going to be so bad on our planet. It's going to seem so bad to be a Sabbath-keeping Christian as we come down to the end, because the whole world is going to be stacked against you. And you're going to realize that by all odds, as we see them in our human eyes, we can't win, and we're going to be destroyed and annihilated from planet Earth on a certain day. It's going to come down to that. Just like in the book of Esther, they gave the command that on a certain day they would kill all the Jews. And in the end, it's basically going to come down to that, that if you are going to be true to God, Satan and his people are going to get rid of you here on planet Earth. So this angel has sworn, he's taken an oath by God's throne that God is going to shut it down, that there won't be any more time after this certain day. Because I tell you, as we head into that last 1260 days, you're going to be hanging on, preaching the gospel and hoping for it to come to an end. And as we come down to the end there, if we went past the 1290th day and God did not intervene, it would be almost too much for God's people to bear, because it's going to be so pointed, the controversy, by the time we get down to that time. Remember how it was in Elijah's day? Elijah went down, Ahab and his family, they all worshipped all these idols. They had the temples of Baal, groves on all the mountains. They had totally eradicated the knowledge of Yahweh from the Jewish people. They were all doing all these things, and Elijah had to go in there and look the king in the face and tell him, it's not going to rain anymore, because you're not honoring the Creator and He's not going to give you any rain. But even though all those things happened, when they finally, God told Elijah to go meet him on that last morning, when Ahab saw him, instead of repenting of his sin, Ahab said to him, is it you, you troubler of Israel? And as we come down to the end, it's going to be the very same way. The wicked on earth are not going to take credit for what they've done. They're instead going to say, this little group of people are the ones that are troubling us, and that have given us all this trouble. And so these angels have actually sworn that when we reach that 1290th day, time will be no longer. It's all over with. It's going to end. God's finally going to bring things here on earth to a close. We're finally going to have closure. Because, you know, we see, the Bible tells us that they say, where is the promise of God's coming? For all things continue as they were since the fathers slept. In other words, the earth's just going on and on and on and on. And honestly, those people, most of them today, don't really believe that God's coming back. I don't believe they do. If they were, they wouldn't be stacking up all the wealth and things that they are today. They're not really preparing for His return. They're instead preparing for their happy, long life here on earth as long as they can stretch it out. In fact, Isaiah contains a prophecy about them. He says they're all like greedy dogs, and they say to each other, come and fetch wine, and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be much more abundant than it is today. In other words, just keep going on into the future, because time is not going to end. Instead, things are going to get better and better for us as we go on. And as these people today who are out there, they're working to get control of the earth and to take over the governments of the earth, because they think time is going to go on and on and on. That prophecy I just referred to, we'll close with this maybe for the morning session, is found in Isaiah 56, and it begins in verse 9. Isaiah 56 and verse 9. This compares to Revelation, where he calls the birds in to eat. Isaiah 56 and verse 9, it says, "All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest." Verse 10, "His watchmen are blind." This is speaking about the pastors of the churches in the world today, the Pope and his men. "His watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They don't understand God's truth. They're ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand." They can't understand. "They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter." You could say from their parish. They're all looking for their gain from their people. Verse 12 says, "They say, come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." They don't understand what God's doing, and they're just heaping together wealth like the Catholic Church is today, stacking it up, hoards and hoards, and they say, tomorrow's going to be better. Tomorrow's going to be better. The Pope has all the ambassadors of the world coming to his doorstep today. Tomorrow is going to be a better day in the Catholic Church. We're going to take control of the earth. We almost have control of the United States government through the judicial bodies. It's getting better for us. Every day is better. Every day is better. But they don't realize that we're coming to that day when God is finally going to intervene because of what they've done. We know in Psalms 119, 126, it says, "It's time for thee to work, God, because they've made void thy law." So he's going to let them get by with this for a long time. And then finally, God is going to intervene. Now, I said we'd make that our last verse, but I just realized we left a few at the end of Revelation 10, and that's the chapter we started on this morning, so let's go read those last few there. We're going to leave what we can understand well and go back to something that's a little more vague to us here at the end. Let's read Revelation 10, beginning in verse 5. It says, "The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." So there we have it. There'll be time no longer. He takes an oath. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Now, wasn't Daniel one of God's servants, the prophets? And Daniel got that last information about how it's going to end. And this angel says, when the seventh angel blows his trumpet, he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So that same angel is taking an oath again, showing John here and saying, everything that was promised to the prophet Daniel will be terminated. It will be finished when the seventh angel blows his trumpet. Verse 8 of Revelation 10 says, "The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." So here at the end, John the Revelator was told to go take this little book out of the angel's hand. That means this angel who comes down at the end and explains us these last things, as he pours out his power and his glory here on earth, he has a special message for us at the end to get us ready to go into heaven. It says it's a very sweet message to us as we study it and understand it, but as it comes to its end, it brings bitterness to us. this has been preached to be a lot of different things, but I tell you what, I was thinking about this week and it just came to my mind, and I actually believe the message that's in this last little book for the end to get God's people square with him so they'll be okay is the message of God's feast days that he's restoring at the end. Because the feast days contain information about what's going to happen. The Day of Atonement is the final day of judgment for everybody here on earth. No one even says that it's been fulfilled, and yet it's not kept today. And God said those would be kept forever. And as God's people study these things and understand them, it's very sweet to us, because as we understand them, we see deeper into the prophecies and deeper into what's going to happen at the end. But as we take it in and enjoy it and love it, it brings bitterness to us also, because it causes great division in the church like it has today. It's brought a bitterness today that we really can't even understand. We know people that seem to be our dear brothers and sisters just a few years ago, and they're so filled with malice and hatred toward us today that it's just unbelievable. They really don't have the Spirit of Jesus within them, because if they did, they would feel like I feel towards them. I don't hate them. I don't agree with them on their doctrine, but I don't have any animosity towards them. And these people have so much animosity today that it's just absolutely unbelievable. They have literally hatred, the way they speak, the way they talk about these things. And so this little book, I believe, here at the end, is the special message God's giving us then to make sure that we're perfectly in alignment with him. See, it didn't matter 100 years ago if our ancestors perfectly understood the feast, because they weren't going to live to see the day come that Jesus was going to come. And most people have forgotten what the feasts are, but there's at least two that we know have never been fulfilled. Really, three. In the seventh month, see, Jesus fulfilled the spring feast, and then you had the long summer where all the crops grew. And that's like the last 2,000 years here on earth. And then at the end of the year, in the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month, the Jews blew the trumpet. Every man in Israel was supposed to blow a trumpet. And it signified that judgment was going to come. And those trumpets compare to the seven trumpets we've been studying in the book of Revelation. God's judgments are here. And then on the 10th day of that seventh month was the Day of Atonement, when everybody had to have every one of their sins forgiven. If they didn't have their sins forgiven, it says God cut them off from the camp of Israel. The day is coming that it says Jesus is going to finish his work in the heavenly sanctuary, and he's going to give that order: he that's unjust, let him stay unjust, and he that's holy, let him stay holy, and there's not going to be any more. And then 5 days after that day began what was called the Feast of Tabernacles, and God commanded that every one of his people, who was a Jew, and we're all spiritual Jews, that they leave their house. They had to leave their house and go dwell in the woods or in the fields for 7 days. And I personally believe that all people who are keeping that feast at the end of time will be gone on the day when Satan appears. I won't be packing my things to leave my house. If I prepared to keep those feasts, I'll have left my house, and I won't be at my house when they come to find me. So our ancestors didn't have to keep those feasts 100 years ago because they weren't going to live to see the final coming. But you and I are, and if we're keeping those things and doing what God told us, we're going to be spared a lot of trouble at the end. And so I encourage you, to keep coming on Tuesday nights, because we're watching this video series now that really goes through the feasts in great detail so we can understand them. But I encourage you just to make that a part of your own study. And I'm not pushing it on anybody. The Bible says let everybody be fully persuaded in their own mind. But it does tell us that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. A lot of people just say, well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to study those. There's something wrong with us when there's any part of the Bible that we say, I don't want to hear about. I don't want to study about. So that concludes our Revelation 10 this morning. I hope you enjoyed that. Revelation 10 and Daniel 12 are some of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, because they bring us to that final climactic end in this earth history when we're finally going to get deliverance. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy great name. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings to us. We thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you you for the Spirit you've poured out upon those of us who choose to keep all of your Ten Commandments. We thank you for giving us the spirit of prophecy to understand these things. Bless us and keep us this day. Help us to be overcoming daily and cleansing and purifying our lives so we can be part of your final remnant people at the end. Bless us and keep us and be with all those who are hurting and less fortunate in our world today. In Jesus' holy name we ask these things. Thy will be done, Almighty Father. Amen.